Good. That looks like a signal to start. I assume I'm audible. Okay. Then we go and read. I think we've read it before, but we do it anyway. Yeah.
Bloom. She's rather lean. Virag, not unpleasantly. Absolutely. Well observed. And those pannier pockets of the skirt and slightly peg-top effect are devised to suggest bunchiness of hip. A new purchase at some monster sale for which a gull has been malted. Meretricious finery to deceive the eye. Observe the attention to detail of dust specks. Never put on you tomorrow what you can wear today. Parallax. With a nervous twitch of his head. Did you hear my brain go snap? Polysyllabax? Bloom, an elbow resting in a hand, a forefinger against his cheek. She seems sad. Virag, cynically, his weasel teeth bared yellow, draws down his left eye with a finger and barks hoarsely. Hawks! Beware of the flapper and bogus mournful, lily of the alley. All possess bachelor's button discovered by Rualdus Columbus, Cumberler, Columbala, Chameleon. More genially. Well, then, permit me to draw your attention to item number 3. There is plenty of her visible to the naked eye. Observe the mass of oxygenated vegetable matter on her skull. What ho, she bumps the ugly duckling of the party, long-casted and deep in keel. Bloom, regretfully, when he came out without your gun. Virag, we can do you all brands, mild, medium, and strong. Pay your money, take your choice. How happy could you be with either? Bloom, wit, Virag, his tongue upcurling. Lyum, look, her beam is broad. She is coated with quite a considerable layer of fat. Obviously mammal in weight of bosom, you remark that she has in front, well to the fore, two protuberances of very respectable dimensions, inclined to fall in the noonday soup plate, while on her rear lower down are two additional protuberances, suggestive of potent rectum and tumescent for palpation, which leaves nothing to be desired save compactness. Such fleshy parts are the product of careful nurture. When coop fattened, their livers reach an elephantine size. Helots of new bread, with fenugreek and gum benjamin, swamped down by potions of green tea, endow them during their brief existence with natural pincushions of quite colossal blubber. That suit your book, eh? Flesh hot pots of Egypt to hanker after? Wallow in it. Lycopodium. His throat switches. Slap bang. There he goes again. Bloom. The sty I dislike. Virag. Arches his eyebrows. Contact with the gold ring, they say. Argumentum ad feminin, as we said in old Rome and ancient Greece, in the consulship of Diplodocus and Ichthyosaurus. For the rest, Eve's sovereign remedy. Not for sale. Hire only. Huguenot. He twitches. It is a funny sound. He coughs encouragingly. But possibly it is only a wart. I presume you shall have remembered what I will have taught you on that head. Wheaten meal with honey and nutmeg. Bloom, reflecting. Wheaten meal with lipocodium and syllabax, this searching ordeal. It has been an unusually fatiguing day, a chapter of accidents. Wait, I mean, wart's blood spreads warts, you said. Virag, severely, his nose hard-humped, his side eye winking. Stop twirling your thumbs and have a good old bunk. See, you have forgotten. Exercise your mnemotechnic. La cause santa tara tara. Aside, he will surely remember. Bloom, rosemary also, did I understand you to say, or willpower over parasitic tissues? Then, nay, no, I have an inkling. The touch of a dead hand cures. Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah, she's rather lean, Bloom says. Obviously, we are describing the prostitute. Not unpleasantly. Absolutely. Well observed. And those pannier pockets of the skirt, again, a lot of costume details that I don't get, of the skirt and slightly pecked up effect are devised to suggest bunchiness. A new purchase at some monster sale for which a gull has to be mulcted. I think a gull is a person who is easily, who is gullible. To mulk means to get money from in some way. Meretricious, that sort of prostitution, finery to deceive the eye. observe the attention to details of dust specks. Then he has a proverbial twist here. Never put on you tomorrow what you can wear today. You know the proverb, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably a slogan for those, use the old clothes before you buy new ones. You know? Then it's a parallax, which we know as an optical term, with a nervous twitch of his head. Did you hear my brain go snap? And that has a background a spiritual medium when they get in a trance. Did you hear my brain go snap? And then he says, parallax polysyllabax, a word of many syllables, whatever else. Polly is also a female name. And a parrot, I believe. Boom. An elbow resting in hand, a forefinger against his cheek. She seems sad. Cynically, his weasel teeth bared yellow, draws down his left eye with a finger and barks hoarsely, hoax. Doesn't look like a bark to me. Beware of the flapper, and bogus, mournful, whatever is wrong. Flapper, I don't quite know what meaning it had there. In the 20s, 30s, it had a different meaning. Lily of the alley. There's a lily of the valley. There's also a song, but the lily of the alley is probably also a prostitute in the streets in the alley. And then all possess bachelor's button discovered by Rodus Columbus. What I have in my notes, and did know, and I suggest you didn't know, is that some Rodus Columbus discovered. Wait a moment, I have to see. Discovered the clitoris. That obviously took some time. The bachelor's button, that's what it's called, discovered by Rodus Columbus. Then tumble her, columble her, which is obviously a kind of play with word, chameleon, several elements into one, marginally. Well then, permit me to draw your attention to item number 3. There's plenty of her visible to the naked eye. Observe the mass of oxygenated vegetable matter on her skull. What Ho She Bumps was a music hall thing. A music hall song, quite popular. What Ho She Bumps. The ugly duckling of the party. You know, the ugly duckling is from the Anderson tale. That one duckling was very ugly and out until it turned out it was a swan, the ugly duckling. Hässliche kleine Entlein. Long casted and deep in heel, that is a thing how sailors describe women, long legs and deep in keel and a little bit and having big backside. Then Bloom, regretfully, when you come out without your gun, again, that seems to be what things or ducks you see when you come out without your gun, when you're not prepared for an opportunity to take it. Then Virag is like a salesman. We can do all brand, mild, medium, and strong. Pay your money, take your choice. How happy could you be with either? And that is from the Beggar's Opera. How happy could you be with either? Where the other dear chums say, seems probably a choice between two women. There's a lot I don't follow, of course. Room with. Virag then tongue up curly. Liam. Her beam is broad. That's again nautical 40s, but she's coated with quite considerable layer of fat. Obviously, mammal in weight of bosom, you remark that she has in front, well to the fore, through two tuberoses of very respectable dimensions, inclined to fall into the noonday soup plate. When on the rear lower down are two additional protuberances, suggesting a potent rectum and tumescence for palpitation, which leave nothing to be desired save compactness. So you get an idea what she looks like. Such fleshy parts are the product of careful nurture. When coop fattened, their livers, I suppose it's like stuffing geese, reach an elephantine size, very big. Pellets of new bread with fenugreek and gumbenzum swamped down by potions of green tea seems to be a recipe. Endow them during their brief existence with natural pincushions of quite colossal blubber. That's from your book, eh? Flesh pots of Egypt, that's from the Bible. There were plenty to eat in Egypt. To hanker after, following it, lycopodium. Now, lycopodium is something. Powder has various uses, also for the skin. It means actually wolf's foot. His throat twitches. Slap, bang, there she goes again. That's also from a music hall song. There she goes again. The sty, I dislike. The sty, I remember, is that thing in the eye, which isn't very attractive. In fact, the prostitutes are particularly non-erotic as far as I can see. Virag, arches and eyebrows. Contact with a gold ring. That's probably what you can do. That's full of sort of homely recipes that he has. When you have a sty, that you touch it with a gold ring, they say. Then he says, argumentum ab feminam. You know, in logic, or the argumentum ab hominem is when you attack me, not because something I said is wrong, but because I stole the church money. So it is that kind of thing. When you should argue, you shouldn't. It's wrong to attack the person. Argumentum ab feminam. As we said in old Rome and ancient Greece, on the consulship of Diplococcus and Ichthyosaurus. That is how Roman historians refer to the time during the consulship of such and such. They have Diplodocus and the Ichthyosaurus is a kind of fishy dinosaur. For the rest, Eve's sovereign remedy. Eve's remedy? I don't know. Not for sale. Hire only. You can only hire it. Huguenot. Suddenly he comes to the Huguenot. He twitches. It is a funny sound, because encouragingly. But possibly it is only a wart. Of course, wart is not. We don't see them nowadays so much. But warts were quite a defect on the skin. I presume you shall have remembered what I will have taught you on that head. That's quite a sentence with secondary futures. Huh? You shall have remembered what I will have taught you on that head. Wheaten meal with honey and nutmeg seems to be good against warts. Bloom, reflecting. Wheaten meal with lycopodium and syllabax. A searching ideal. Then something, it has been an unusually fatiguing day. A chapter of accidents, a group of accidents. Wait, I mean, warts blood spreads warts, you said. Somehow to get rid of warts isn't easy. So they can. Virag, severely, his nose hard humped. His side eye winking. Stop twirling your thumbs. That is a matter of embarrassment. And have a good old funk. Sounds like British English. See, I've forgotten. Exercise your mnemotechnique, that is the process of remembering. Then he says, La causa è santa, that is from the opera, the Huguenots, that is just coming, which said, because it's the massacre of, I think, the Protestants, that the cause is holy, then you can kill others. Bloom has that in his mind too. Tara, tara is a part of the song, tara, tara. He will surely remember. Then Bloom. Rosemary also, did I understand you to say, or willpower over parasitic tissues, and a wart is a parasitic tissue. Then, nay, no, I have an inkling. The touch of a dead hand cures. Never touch of a dead hand. A touch of a dead man's hand would cure the warts that seems to be being fought. It's not easy to find a dead hand when you need it. Nemo technique. That's why we stopped. Hmm? Mm-hmm. No.
Virag excitedly. I say so, in so technique. He taps his parchment roll energetically. This book tells you how to act with all descriptive particulars. Consult index for agitated fear of aconite, melancholy of muriatic, priapic, pulsatilla. Virag is going to talk about amputation. Our old friend Caustic, they must be starved. Snip off with horsehair under the denned neck. But to change the venue to the Bulgar and the Basque, have you made up your mind whether you like or dislike women in male habiliments? With a dry snigger. You intended to devote an entire year to the study of the religious problem and the summer months of 1882 to square the circle and win that million pomegranate. From the sublime to the ridiculous is but a step. Pajamas, let us say, or stockingette gusseted knickers closed, or, put with the case, those complicated combinations, cami knickers. He crows derisively, Kikiriki. Bloom surveys uncertainly the three whores, then gazes at the veiled mauve light, hearing the ever-flying moth. Bloom, I wanted then to have now concluded. Nightdress was never, hence this. But tomorrow is a new day, will be. Past was is today. What now is, will then tomorrow, as now, was be past yester. Virag prompts into his ear, in a pig's whisper, insects of the day spend their brief existence in reiterated coition, lured by the smell of the inferiorly pulchritudinous female, possessing extendified pudental verve in dorsal region. Pretty Paul, his yellow parrot beak gabbles nasally. They have a proverb in the Carpathians, in or about the year 5550 of our era. One tablespoonful of honey will attract friend Bruin. More than half a dozen barrels of first choice malt vinegar. Bears, buzz, bothers, bees, but of this apart. At another time, we may resume. We were very pleased, we others. He coughs, and bending his brow, rubs his nose thoughtfully with a scooping hand. You shall find that these night insects follow the light, an illusion, for remember their complex, unadjustable eye. For all these knotty points, see the 17th book of my Fundamentals of Sexology, or the Love Passion, which Dr. L.B. says is the book sensation of the year. Some, to example, there are again whose movements are automatic. Perceive, that is his appropriate son. Night bird, night sun, night town, chase me, Charlie. Buzz. Bloom, be your blue bottle too, other day, putting shadow on wall. Dazed self, then me, wandered, dazed. Down shirt, good job, eh? Virag, his face impassive, laughs in a rich feminine key. Splendid! Spanish fly in his fly, or mustard plaster on his dibble. He gobbles gluttonously with turkey wattles. Bubbly jock, where are we? Open sesame, cometh forth. He unrolls his parchment rapidly and reads, his glowworm's nose running backwards over the letters, which he claws. Stay, good friend, I bring thee thy answer. Red bank oysters will shortly be upon us. I'm the best to cook. Those succulent bivalves may help us. And the truffles of Perigord, tubers dislodged through Mr. Omnivorous Porker, were unsurpassed in cases of nervous debility or viragitis. Though they stink, yet they sting. He wags head with cackling raillery. Jocular, with my eyeglass in my ocular. Bloom, absently. Ocularly, woman's bivalve cases worse. Always open sesame, the cloven sex. Why they fear vermin, creeping things. Yet even the serpent contradict. Not a historical fact. Obvious analogy to my idea. Serpents, too, are gluttons for woman's milk. Wind their way through miles of omnivorous forest to suck succulent her breast dry. Like those bubbly, jocular Roman matrons one reads of in Elephantuliasis. Virag, his mouth projected in hard wrinkles, eyes stonily forlornly closed, psalms in outlandish monotone. That the cows were there, those distended others, that they have been the known. Bloom, I'm going to scream. I beg your pardon. Ah, so, he repeats, spontaneously to seek out the Saurian's lair in order to entrust their teats to his avid suction. Ant milks aphis, profoundly. Instinct rules the world, in life, in death. Virag, head askew, arches his back, and hunched wing shoulders, peers at the moth out of blear bulged eyes, points a horning claw, and cries,
Who's Jerajer? Who's dear Gerald? Oh, I much fear he shall be most badly burned. Will some pleased person, not now impediment, so catastrophic mid agitation, a first-class table numpkin? He mews. Lus, puss, puss, puss.
He sighs, draws back, and stares sideways down with dropping under jaw.
Well, well, he does rest anon. I'm a tiny type.
Yeah. Nemo technic. Virag, excitedly, I say so, in so, technic, mnemotechnic device to use your memory. There are certain tricks you can use. He taps his parchment roll energetically. This book tells you how to act with all descriptive particulars. Obviously, the book with descriptive particulars tells you how to act, not act with descriptive. Consult index for agitated fear of aconite of poison, melancholy of muriatic. Muriatic is a muriacid. What's a suicide potion? Phreatic pulsatilla. Pulsatilla is an oil, and priapic. Priapus was the god with an erection. Priapus means it erected penis. Virag is going to talk about amputation. Our old friend Caustic. They must be starved. Again, the warts, I take it. Snip off with horsehair under the dent neck. That is the way to treat wart with horsehair. But to change the venue to the Bulgar and the Basque. Bulgarian and Basque are languages. What this is otherwise? Aha. Women have wear trousers under their skirts. So that seems to be it. Have you made up your mind whether you like or dislike women in male habiliments? I think Bloom occasionally imagines women in male clothes, oriental, and that seems to be quite attractive to him, with a dry snigger. You intended to devote an entire year to the study of the religious problem and the summer month of 82 to square the circle and win that million. Now, he must have in younger years, 82, that is when Stephen and Joyce were born. There was the belief, it isn't true, that if you could solve the mathematical puzzle to square the circle, you would get £1,000. That wasn't true. And anyone, the circle hasn't been squared. Pomegranate. Now, I believe that this is also from the book, from the Song of Songs, the most erotic book in the Bible, where there's something of pomegranate. Then, from the sublime to the ridiculous is but a step. That is something is applied very often in our book here. The sublime is usually undercut by some kind of ridicule. Pyjamas, let us say, men's clothes for women. Our stockingette, gusseted knickers. Knickers were underclothes reaching from the hip to the knee. Not very exciting for us now. A gusset, I think, is a kind of elastic inlet in clothes. Or put with the case. I think you can say that, but to me it seems like a German Gesetztenfalls translated, because in the Blum family in Hungary, there were German was spoken. Would be the case, those complicated combinations, you know, combinaison is also an underclothes, came in knickers. He crows derisively, kikeriki, acts like a rooster. Bloom surveys uncertainly the three halls, then gazes at the veiled mauve light, hearing the ever-flying moth. Bloom, I wanted them to have now concluded. I wanted them to have now concluded. Night rest was never. Hence this. But tomorrow is a new day, will be. Past was, is today. What now is, will then tomorrow, as now, was be past gesture. That very often remarks about the time and what's past and what's future and all of that. Virok, prompt into his ear, into a pig's whisper. A pig's whisper. Don't know. Prompts intuitive things. Insects of that day spend their brief existence in reiterated coition. They are ephemeral insect flies, lured by the smell of the inferiorly pulchritudinous, that's beautiful, female possessing an extended pudendal verve, that is in the pudenda verve, in dorsal region. Pretty pole. Pole is also a parrot. His yellow parrot beak gabbled nasally. Had a proverb in the Carpathians in or about the year 5550 of our era. I believe, but I can't find it yet, that this would be how old the year is according to the Hebrew calculation. I'm not sure, but it looks like it. One, then suddenly says, one tablespoonful of honey will attract friend Bruin, the bear, more than half a dozen barrels of first choice malt vinegar. Well, we know that bears love honey. Bears, birds, brothers, bees, bear bees. But of this apart. At another time, we may resume. We were very pleased, the others. He coughs and, bending his brow, rubs his nose thoughtfully with a scooping hand. You shall find that these night insects follow the light. An illusion, for remember their complex, unadjustable eye. Yeah. They'd have fixed eyes, but quite a number of them. For all these naughty points, see the 17th book of my Fundamentals of Sexology, that's very German, of course, or the Love Passion, which Dr. L.B., Leopold Bloom, says is the book sensation of the year. Some, two examples. Ah, ja, that's zum Beispiel. There's a German at the back. Zum Beispiel. There are again whose movements are automatic, perceive. That is the appropriate sun, the light. Night bird, night sunlight town. Chase me, Charlie, buzz. Chase me, Charlie is a musical phrase. That reminds Bloom of that bee or bloom bottle that stung him once. Bloom, bee or blue bottle, two, other day, butting, shadow on wall, taste self, then me, warm the taste down shirt, good job, I. So it seems there was another bee, not the one who stung him, that was close to him. The ark. His face, impassive, laughs in a rich, feminine key. You can all practice a laugh in a rich, feminine key. But don't make it a poor, masculine key. Yeah. Splendid. Spanish fly in his fly. Now, Spanish fly was supposed to be an aphrodisiac. Don't know how you apply it, by the way. In his fly, fly is the part of the men's pad trousers where you open them. That's the fly. Or mustard plaster on his dibble. Dibble is penis. No, there's nothing more. He gobbled gluttonously with turkey wattles. Bubbly jock, bubbly jock. Is slang for turkey. Where are we? Open sesame, you know, from the 1001 Nights, cometh forth. He unrolls his parchment rapidly and reads his glowworm's nose, running backward over the letters with the claws. Backward over the letters, of course, from right to left in the Hebrew tradition. Very good friend. I bring thee thy answer. Then, red banked oysters will shortly be upon us. There are red bank oysters. Red Bank is in the west of Ireland and it's famous for their oysters. And in Dublin, there was the Red Bank restaurant outside of which Boylan was seen. And oysters, it seems, have also a reputation for virility and potency. I'm the best to cook. Those succulent bivalves, oysters, may help us, and the truffles of Perigord. And truffles is also something special. And truffles were also regarded as an aphrodisiac. That's probably one reason why they're expensive. Tubers dislodged through Mr. Conyers' portal. Pigs, they smell. They smell truffles, and they're used to that. Well, unsurpassed in case of nervous debility or viragitis. Now, there's no such medical term. Virag is the Hungarian for flower. Whether it's something vaginal, I don't know. Viragitis. Virginity is a masculine mentality. Though they stink, yet they sting. He wags his head with cackling raillery. Jocular with my eyeglass in my ocular. And that is from the Gilbert and Sullivan, the music hall, or not the music hall, these operettas. There it says, I'll tell him that unless he will consent to be more jocular, to cut his hair and stick an eye glass in an ocular. It's one of these cheap rhymes of the Gilbert and Sullivan operettas. They were very, very popular at the time. And it would help us if we knew them. I don't. Bloom absently. Ocularly women, what you see, bivalves case is well, now a woman's bivalve is something else, of course. All this open sesame. The cloven sex cleft. why they fear vermin, creeping things. The idea is they are afraid of vermin and snakes, creeping things. They might enter their organ. Yet even the serpent contradict, you know, that's the original sin. When the serpent tempted Eve, by the way, originally, exactly, it wasn't a snake that tempted Eve. It was Lucifer who then, for punishment, was changed into a serpent. So when you see pictures of the serpent and the apple, this is a kind of anticipation. The serpent was a punishment for the Eve. Not a historical fact. Obvious analogy to my idea. Serpents, too, are gluttons for woman's milk. Wind their way through miles of omnivorous forest to suck succulent her breast dry. Like those bubbly jocular Roman matrons one reads of in Elephantuliesis. There is no such book, I believe. Elephantis is a Greek writer of erotica. Famous, yeah. A kind of probably a classical pornography. And of course, Elephantis when the limbs swell. Virag, his mouth projected in hard wrinkles, eyes stonily forlornly closed, songs, that is, sings in outlandish monotone, that the cows with those extended udders, that they have been the known, I'm going to scream, I beg your pardon also, he repeats, spontaneously to seek out the saurian's lair, dinosaurian's lair, in order to entrust their teats to his avidsuctions. Obviously, animals and dinosaurs and serpents, they want milk. Ant milks aphis. The ants too have some animals that they can milk profoundly. Instinct rules the world. And of course, this chapter is one of instinct and not reason in life, in death. Virag, head askew, arches its back, and hunched wing shoulders peers at the moth out of blear-bulged eyes, points a horny claw and cries, "Who's Gerald? Who's dear Gerald?" We don't know who Gerald is. To the best of my knowledge, nobody has found out, or I haven't seen it. Mystery. Oh, I much fear he shall be most badly burnt. Will some police person, usually the S for the S is a sign of drunkenness, but not, will some police person, not now impediment, so catastrophic, mid agitation of first class table numpkin. That is a German type of sentence, even without the mit. Will some please person, not now, impediment, so catastrophic, mid agitation of first class table numpkin. He mews like a cat. Lush, pus, pus, pus. His eyes draws back and stares wider down with dropping underjaw. Well, 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 he doth rest anon. It's all a bit mysterious, as you can see, and not much has really done to explain this. So we can dismiss it as just, of course, weird things happening in a dream, but that is not quite satisfactory. Okay. Then I think we go on.
I'm a tiny, tiny thing, ever flying in the spring. Round and round a ring, long ago I was a king. Now I do this kind of thing, on the wing, bing.
He rushes against the mauve shade, flapping noisily.
Pretty, 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 pretty petticoats.
From left upper entrance with two sliding steps, Henry Flower comes forward to left front center. He wears a dark mantle and drooping plumed sombrero. He carries a silver-stringed inlaid dulcimer and a long-stemmed bamboo Jacob's pipe, its clay bowl fashioned as a female head. He wears dark velvet hose and silver buckle pumps. He has the romantic savior's face with flowing locks, thin beard, and moustache. His spindle legs and sparrow feet are those of the tenor Mario, Prince of Candia. He settles down his goffered ruffs and moistens his lips with the passage of his amorous tongue. Henry, in a low dulcet voice, touching the strings of his guitar.
There is a flower that bloometh.
Virag, truculent, his jowl set, stares at the lamp. Grave gloom regards Zoe's neck. Henry, gallant, turns with pendant dewlap to the piano. Stephen, to himself, play with your eyes shut, imitate Pa. Filling my belly with husks of swine. Too much of this. I will arise and go to my... Expect this is the... Steve, thou art in a parlous way. Must visit old DC or telegraph. Our interview of this morning has left on me a deep impression, though our ages will write fully tomorrow. I'm partially drunk, by the way. He touches the keys again. Minor chord comes now. Yes. Not much, however. Armidano Artifoni holds out a baton roll of music with vigorous moustache work. Artifoni. Ci rifletta, lei rovina tutto. Flory. Sing us something. Love's old sweet song. Stephen. No voice. I am a most finished artist. Lynch, did I show you the letter about the lute? Flory. Smirking. The bird that can sing and won't sing. The Siamese twins, Philip drunk and Philip sober, two Oxford dons with lawnmowers, appear in the window embrasure. Both are masked with Matthew Arnold's face. Philip sober.
Take a fool's advice. All is not well. Work it out with the butt end of a pencil like a good young idiot. £3.12 you've got. 2 notes, 1 sovereign, 2 crowns, if you've but new. Mooney's en vie, Mooney's sur mer, the Moira, La Chaise, Holler Street Hospital, Burke's. Eh? I am watching you.
Philip drunk, impatiently.
Oh, boss man, go to hell. I paid my way. If I could only find out about octaves, reduplication of personality. Who was it told me his name?
His lawnmower begins to purr.
Ah, yes. Zoe Musazagapo. Have a notion I was here before. When was it not? Atkinson, his card I have somewhere. Mac somebody. Un-Mac. I have it. He told me about... Hold on, Swinburne, was it? No?
Flory. And the song? Stephen. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Flory. Are you out of minute? You're like someone I knew once. Stephen. Out of it now. To himself. Clever. Philip drunk and Philip sober. The lawnmowers purring with the rigadoon of grass arms.
Clever ever. Out of it. Out of it. By, have you the book to sing? The ash plant. Yes, there it is. Clever ever. Out of it now. Keep in condition. Do like us.
So, I'm a tiny, tiny thing. Yeah. I'm a tiny, tiny thing, ever flying in the spring, round and round a ring a ring. Long ago I was a king. Now I do this kind of thing. On the wing, the moth kind of song, with a change. Huh? I was a king. Spin. He rushes against the mauve shade, flapping noisily. There's a lamp with a mauve shade. Then he says, pretty, 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 pretty petticoats. From left upper entrance, with two sliding steps, something happens on the stage. Henry Flower, that is Bloom's pen name as a correspondent, comes forward to left front center, again emphasis on left. He wears a dark mantle and a drooping plumed sombrero. He carries a silver string inlaid dulcimer, a kind of string instrument, that also occurred earlier on when Bloom imagined somebody of the dulcimer, and long-stemmed bamboo Jacob's pipe. There is a type of pipe that's called Jacob's pipe. It's clay bowl fashioned as a female head. Yeah, these bowls often have something engraved on it. He wears a dark velvet hose, something covers the leg, and silver buckled pumps, looks a bit female. He has the romantic serious face with flowing looks, thin beard and moustache. His spindle legs and sparrow feet are those of the tenor Mario, Prince of Candia. Now, we had this at the beginning of the seventh chapter, when Bloom remembered a music sheet that has the tenor Mario with spindle legs and all of that. Those who use the Penguin edition would find it on page 149. The others can do it. So Mario the tenor, who was dressed just like this and looked like Jesus the Savior. He settles down his goffered ruffs and moistens his lips with a passage of his amorous tongue. Yeah, you can look very seductive with a tongue. Mm-hmm. Henry, in a low, dulcet, only sweet voice, touching the strings of his guitar. Now it's a guitar. Dulcimer has become a guitar. Then there's a song we heard before. There is a flower that bloometh, sings Henry Flower. Then Virac, truculent, somber, his jowl set, stares at the lamp. Grave Bloom regards Zoe's neck. Henry Gallant turns with pendant dewlap to the piano. So there are different expressions on the face. Stephen to himself. By the way, there's something we don't know. Now we are concentrating on Stephen and his imagination. What happens to Bloom after imagining they're on the stage? He's quite forgotten now. So this is certainly not the realistic, by the way, just occurs to me, today in a week, there will be a performance of Ulysses in German in Basel in the theatre. And on your, go and check it if you want to go. There must be several performances. Stephen to himself. Play with the eyes shut. Imitate Pa, Father. Filling my belly with husks of swine. That's from the Bible, the prodigal son, der verlorene Sohn. He was away and he was filling his belly with husks of swine and misbehaving, and yet his father then loved him. Too much of this. I will arise and go to my, and I think it's hard to forget the famous Yeats poem, I will arise and now and go to Innisfree. Expect this. Stephen, thou art in parlous way, in a dangerous way, in a kind of Shakespearean tone. Must be it Odyssey or Telegraph, the school that employed him as a teacher. Orentio in this morning has left on me a deep impression, though our ages are different. We'll write fully tomorrow. I'm partially drunk, by the way. He touches the keys again, piano. Minor chord comes now. Yes, not much, however. And this calls up Almidano Artifoni, that is the Italian music teacher who spoke to Stephen in Italian in the 10th chapter in Wandering Rocks. In my edition, it's page 292. For holds a baton roll of music, he has rolled music with vigorous moustache work. And he says, Girifletta, think about, because he said to Stephen, you should cultivate your voice. Think about it. You ruin everything by not cultivating the voice. And that, of course, has to do with the fact that Joyce, a good singer like his father, at times wanted to cultivate to make his voice and do something. Joyce's son, by the way, Giorgio Joyce, was a professional singer, only he could never get employment, I believe. So that refers back. Then Florin. Sing us something, love's old sweet song, the song that flows under Ulysses, the song that Molly and Stephen have been rehearsing. Stephen, no voice. I'm a most finished artist. You can see that's a double meaning. Lynch, did I show you the letter about the lute? A lute is an instrument, an old instrument, and there was somebody who sold lutes for about 60 guineas. They were very expensive, and Joyce once thought of ordering one, because Joyce was, like Stephen, was in Elizabethan music, never came to anything. Boy, the bird that can sing and won't sing. That is... it's a proverb. The bird that he must be made to sing. That's the proverb. Then those Siamese twins, Philip Drunk and Philip Sober. Philip Drunk and Philip Sober are a kind of split of the personality. One is the drunk, one is the sober person. So Philip Drunk and Philip Sober, two Oxford dons with lawnmowers. Why lawnmowers? Because these Oxford lawns are very carefully trimmed and all of that. Appear in the window embrasure. Both are masked with Matthew Arnold's face. In the first chapter, Stephen thought of a scene in Oxford, where he hasn't been, Matthew Arnold, who was a writer and teacher, who wrote about the Celts and the Irish and all of that. So he's connected with Oxford at a certain time. And Stephen has imagined him with a lawnmower. So that goes back. So Stephen is split into two. Take a fool's advice. All is not well. An echo of Shakespeare, Audra Redensburg. Work it out with a button of a pencil, like a good young idiot. £3.12 you got, 2 notes, 1 sovereign, 2 crowns. He got that in the morning exactly in this way. If youth but knew, that was also suggested, if youth, young people, only knew what the old people do, then they would behave differently. Mooney's on will. Now he recalls the pubs he was in drinking. Mooney's on will, Mooney sur mer, that was where they went in the 7th chapter. The Moira is in a hotel. We do know Larchet, we don't know. Holler Street Hospital, we know they drank beer there, and then they went to Burke's pub. Hey, I'm watching you. Philip Drunk, told Philip Drunk, impatiently. Ah, boss, man, go to hell. I paid my way. That is what Mr. Deasy, Stephen's employer, said to him. An Englishman's boast is, I paid my way. I never borrowed anything. And Stephen, like Joyce, borrowed a lot. If I could only find about octaves, that is a musical, of course, reduplication of personality. Now in music, octaves go by reduplications, by 8 and 16 and all of that. Who was it told me his name? The lawnmower begins to purr. Oh, yes. Zuemu says Agapo. That is the beginning of a poem by Byron, Lord Byron, who was much into Greek, and I think he even was drowned in Greece, and he likes that. And it means, Zoe, my life, I love you. Agapo is love. So that is a very well-known line from Byron. You don't have to know Greek. And of course, Zoe is also the name of one of the prostitutes. Have a notion, I was here before. When was it? Not Atkinson, his card. I have some no idea who Atkinson is. No. He's got to have some. Mac somebody. And Mac, I have it. He told me about, hold on. Swinburne, was it? No. Now, Swinburne is a poet who was much quoted earlier on. He was very much in fashion at the time, and he wrote about a lot about the sea. It is quoted in the first chapter. Boy, and the song, Stephen says, spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There are lots of such proverbs in this chapter. Florrie. Are you out of Maynooth? Maynooth in Ireland is the seminary for priests. If you become a priest in Ireland, you would study at Maynooth. Are you out of Maynooth? The spirit is when flesh is weak, it's also Bible. You're like somebody I knew once. And Stephen says, out of it now. He's out of Maynooth, no longer a Catholic. To himself, clever. Then Philip drunk and Philip sober, their lawnmowers purring like a cat with a rigadoon of grass horns. Clever, ever, out of it, out of it. By the way, have you the book, the thing, the houseplant? He even has an houseplant. Yes, there is, yes. Clever, ever, out of it now. Keep the condition. Do like us. Again, it's very hard to determine what exactly they are saying. I'm quite sure, theoretically, much could be found out by a close study, but I don't think it has been done here, and we would need it. Yeah, then the next thought.
Zoe. There was the priest down there 2 nights ago to do his bit of business, with his coat buttoned up. You needn't try to hide, I say to him. I know you've a Roman collar. Virag, perfectly logical from his standpoint. Fall of man. Harshly, his pupils waxing. The hell with the Pope. Nothing new under the sun. I am the Virag who disclosed the sex secrets of monks and maidens. Why I left the Church of Rome. Be the priest, the woman, and the confessional. Penrose, flippity-gibbet. He wriggles. Woman, undoing her sweet pudor, her belt of rush rope, offers her old moist yoni to man's lingam. Short time after, man presents woman with pieces of jungle meat. Woman shows joy and covers herself with feather skins. Man loves her yoni fiercely with big lingam, the stiff one. He cries, coitus volui! Then giddy woman will run about. Strong man grasps woman's wrists. Woman squeals, bites, spucks. Man, now fierce, angry, strikes woman's fat yagana. He chases his tail. Piff, paff, popo! He stops, sneezes. Pshu! He worries his butt. Lynch. I hope you gave the good father a penance. 9 glorious for shooting the bishop. Zoe. Spouts walrus smoke through her nostrils.
He couldn't get a connection. Only a nerve sensation. A dry rush.
Bloom. Poor man. Zoe, lightly.
Only for what happened him.
Bloom. How? Virag, a diabolic rictus of black luminosity contracting his visage, cranes his scraggy neck forward. He lifts a moon-calf nozzle and howls.
Verfluchte Goyim! He had a father, 40 fathers. He never existed, pig god. He had 2 left feet. He was Judas Acacius, a Libyan eunuch, the Pope's bastard.
He leans out in tortured forepaws, elbows bent rigid, his eye agonizing in his flat skull neck, and yelps over the mute world.
A son of a whore! Apocalypse!
Kitty. And Mary Shortall, that was in the lock, with the pox she got from Jimmy Pigeon in the blue caps, had a child orphan that couldn't swallow and was smothered with the convulsions in the mattress, and we all subscribed for the funeral.
Philip drunk, gravely.
Qui vous a mis dans cette fichue position, Philippe?
Philip sober, gaily.
C'était le sacré pigeon, Philippe.
Kitty unpins her hat and sets it down calmly, patting her henna hair. And a prettier, a daintier head of winsome curls was never seen on a whore's shoulders. Lynch puts on her hat. She whips it off.
Good. Zoe says, that seems to be a real now again talking. There was a priest down here two nights ago to do his bit of business with his coat buttoned up so you couldn't see. It was a clerical. You needn't try to hide, I says to him. You know, I know you have a Roman collar. Priests have a Roman collar. Virag. Perfectly logical from his standpoint. Full of man. Parsley. His pupils waxing. To hell with the Pope. And that is the slogan of the Protestants in Northern Ireland. To hell with the Pope. Nothing new under the sun. That's from the Bible. From Ecclesiasticus, there's nothing new under the sun. I am the Virag who disclosed sex secrets of monks and maidens. Why I left the Church of Rome, that was a book that Bloom saw in a shop window earlier in the day. Read the priest, the woman, and the confessional, Penrose. Penrose is Bloom remembered that somebody was looking in the window when Molly was washing and couldn't remember his name, but then he came back, Penrose. You find that in chapter 8. Flippity-gibbet, in King Lear, the foul fiend Flippity-gibbet. Seems to be the devil or something. He wriggles. Woman, and doing with sweet pudor, that is Latin for shame, the belt of rush rope. I don't know who wears a belt of rush rope. Officer almost yoni to man's lingam. As you probably know, these are Sanskrit terms for the sexual organ, yoni, the female, lingam, the male organ. Short time after, man presents woman with pieces of jungle meat. It's a kind of, obviously a reference to the Yama, Kama Sutra, with all the techniques. Woman shows joy and covers herself with feather skins. Maybe there's an old story behind it. Man loves her yoni fiercely with big lingam, the siphon. He cries, coactus volui, that means compelled, I want it. That is a contrast. If you want something, it's different from when you are forced to do something. It's a contrast. And that we read earlier, that somebody muttered in the Wandering Rocks chapter. Then giddy woman will run about. Strong man grasps woman's wrist. Woman squeals, bites. Spox, again German. Man, now fierce angry, strikes woman's fat yajgana. That's a word I didn't know. Rump, Sanskrit for rump. He chases his tail. Piff, puff, popo. Think piff, puff, popo, popo, we know in German. He stops, sneezes, at the sneeze. He worries his butt. Brr, these are all noises of some sort. Lynch to, what is it, Flory. That's again real then. I hope you gave the good father a penance. A penance is when you sin, you're given a penance. And here the situation is reversed. It's a woman who confesses to the priest, and the priest gives her a penance. And that the priest who is whoring, of course, is in need of a penance now. Nine glorious. You're in confession, you have to say nine glorious or 100 Ave Marias or something like that. Nine glorious for shooting a bishop. That is a way of sexual intercourse. It was that. Of course, shooting a bishop is a nice word for that situation. Zoe spouts walrus smoke through her nostrils. She's smoking. He couldn't get the connection, the priest. Only, you know, sensation. A dry rush. A dry rush is when you don't have any mission. A sensation, a dry rush. Bloom, sympathetic, poor man. Zoe, like, only for what happened to him. Bloom, how? Virag, a diabolic rictus, that is a compulsive laugh of black luminosity. Black luminosity is, of course, a contrast. Contracting his visage, cranes his scraggy neck forward. He lifts a moon calf nozzle. What is a moon calf? Caliban is called the moon calf in the Tempest. I don't think it's anyone by Morgenstern or something. And howls, verfluchte Goyim. German, Goyim, as you know, is a non-Jew. So he had a father, 40 fathers. Now, it's probably Jesus had a father, because Jesus was born without stain. 40 fathers. I don't know where 40 fathers come. Oh, that's something from Flaubert's Temptation of St. Anthony, which is also a play that you can read, you cannot perform it. He never resisted either God or the Holy Ghost. Pick God. I think in Italian you swear by pig, pig goat. I don't know. There probably was I imagine in certain myths there must have been a pig goat. In Greek, there's nothing disrespectful about a pig. He had two left feet. The devil is supposed to have two left feet. He was Judas Icarus, the one who betrayed Jesus. Then a Libyan eunuch, the Pope's bastard. A Libyan eunuch. Now, there is some Judas yuck here. Yeah, it's a complicated thing, but it is. The Pope's bastard. Of course, Popes in the relations often had children. They were bastards, obviously. He leans up and tortured forepaws, elbows bent, rigid, his eyes agonizing, his flat skull neck, and yelps over the mute world, a son of a whore. Of course, that's another son of a bitch, but that is really, obviously, this is against belief. Yeah. A son of a whore, apocalypse. Apocalypse, as you know, is the last book of the Bible or of the Gospels. And it is very, very strange with all kinds of monsters. Comes closest to this chapter in the Bible. And then Kitty, then here they talk. And Mary Shortall, that was in the lock. That's a hospital. Lock Hospital was for venereal disease. Lock, with a pox, syphilis, she got from Jeannie Pigeon in the Blue Caps. had a child of him that couldn't swallow and was smothered with a convulsion in a mattress, and they all subscribed for the funeral. This is really a sad story that one of the prostitutes in the hospital, venereal disease, had a child that he died. But of course, you have, as an overtone, Mary and Jimmy Pigeon. Remember, Mary was made truth by the Holy Ghost in the shape of a pigeon. So that comes up here in the blue caps. So that's a kind of story that echoes what Stephen thought long ago in the third chapter. And the author, but it's basically a sad story. Then Philip drank bravely. Give us a meat, I said, fish, what is your Philip? And that is something we read about and presumably forgot long ago. In the third chapter, you would find it on page 51 in the Penguin edition. Stephen remembers a book in French about the life of Jesus, which makes fun of it. And it shows, and we have a picture somewhere, it shows a pregnant Mary and behind her an indignant Joseph who says, give us a me dans cette fichu position. Who put you in this screwed up position? And the answer is, c'est le pigeon. So that is a kind of an obscene French thing that you have. By the way, with false French, I forgot most of my French, but I know that give us a me as an object should be female, give us a me. But it is already wrong in the original French. But Philip sober, gaily, you should speak gravely and gaily. C'était le sacré pigeon, Philip. There it said, c'était le pigeon, Joseph. Kitty unpins her hat and sets it down calmly, patting her henna hair. Henna is the brown stuff you put in your hair, isn't it? Then suddenly you get the scent lifted out of the Nausicaa chapter. Now, how can the description here know the Nausicaa chapter? Well, obviously, this chapter, in a way, has a memory of the whole book. And the prettier, a daintier head of winsome girls was never seen on the horse shoulders. Lynch puts on her hat. She whisks it off. Is that where we are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Lynch laughs. And to such delight has Metchnikoff inoculated anthropoid apes. Flory nods. Locomotor, a taxi. Zoe, gaily.
Oh, my dictionary.
Lynch, three wise virgins. Virag, ague-shaken, profuse yellow spawn foaming over his bony epileptic lips.
She sold the love filters, white wax, orange flower, panther, the Roman centurion polluted her with his genitories.
He sticks out a flickering phosphorescent scorpion tongue, his hand on his fork.
Messiah, he burst her tympanum.
With gibbering baboon's cries, he jerks his hips in the cynical spasm.
Hick, hick, hack, huck, hook, cock, cook.
Ben Jumbo Dollard, rubicund, muscle-bound, hairy-nostriled, huge-bearded, cabbage-eared, shaggy-chested, shock-maned, fat-papped, stands forth, his loins and genitals tightened into a pair of black bathing bag-slops. Ben Dollard, knackering castanet bones in his huge padded paws, yodels jovially in bass barrel tone.
When love absorbs my ardent soul...
The virgins, Nurse Callan and Nurse Quigley, burst through the ringkeepers and the ropes and mob him with open arms. The virgins, gushingly,
Big Ben! Ben McCree!
A voice, Hold that fellow with the bad breeches! Ben Dollard smites his thigh in abundant laughter.
Hold him now!
Henry, caressing on his breast a severed female head, murmurs, Mine heart, mine love. He plucks his lute strings.
When first I saw...
Virag, sloughing his skins, his multitudinous plumage molting.
Rats!
He yawns, showing a coal black throat, and closes his jaws by an upward push of his parchment roll.
After having said which, I took my departure. Farewell, fare thee well. Drek.
Henry Flower combs his moustache and beard rapidly with the pocket comb and gives a cow's lick to his hair. Steered by his rapier, he glides to the door, his wild harp slung behind him. Virag reaches the door in two ungainly stilt hops, his tail cocked, and deftly claps sideways on the wall a pus-yellow flybill, batting it with his head. The flybill.
K2, postal bills, strictly confidential, Dr. High Franks.
Henry. All is lost now. Virag unscrews his head in a trice and holds it under his arm. Virag's head.
Quack!
Exeunt severally. Stephen, over his shoulder to Zoe.
You would have preferred the fighting parson who founded the Protestant error. But beware Antisthenes, the dog sage, and the last end of Arius Heresiarchus, the agony in the closet.
Lynch.
All one and the same God to her.
Stephen, devoutly.
And sovereign lord of all things.
Flory to Stephen.
I'm sure you're a spoiled priest.
Or a monk. Lynch.
He is. A cardinal's son.
Stephen.
Cardinal sin. Monks of the screw.
His Eminence, Simon Stephen Cardinal Dedalus, Primate of All Ireland, appears in the doorway, dressed in red soutane, sandals and socks. Seven dwarf simian acolytes, also in red, cardinal sins, uphold his train, peeping under it. He wears a battered silk hat sideways on his head. His thumbs are stuck in his armpits and his palms outspread. Round his neck hangs a rosary of corks, ending on his breast in a corkscrew cross. Releasing his thumbs, he invokes grace from on high with large wave gestures and proclaims with bloated pomp, the cardinal.
Conservio lies captured. He lies in the lowest dungeon with manacles and chains around his limbs, weighing upwards of 3 tons.
He looks at all for a moment, his right eye closed tight, his left cheek puffed out. Then, unable to repress his merriment, he rocks to and fro, arms akimbo, and sings with broad, rollicking humour.
Oh, the poor little fellow, his legs, they were yellow. He was plump, fat, and heavy, and brisk as a snake. But some bloody savage, to graze his white cabbage, he murdered Nell Flaherty's dog-loving Drake.
Yeah. Where are we? Oh, yeah. Lynch laughs. And to such delight has Metchnikoff inoculated anthropoid apes. And that was a fact that Metchnikoff showed the relation between animal and human psychology, and he infected apes with syphilis by inoculation. So that was an experiment with apes, and it contains syphilis. Not something one has, I suppose, too great sympathy for. So that's Metchnikoff. Where are we? I've lost my passage again. Metchnikoff. Flory, not locomotor ataxy. That is when you're not in control of your of your movements and all of that. And that is, in a way, something that characterizes the people here who often walk stiff and jerky and all of that, locomotor ataxy. Zoe says, oh, my dictionary, surprised that the other prostitute knows such a medical term. And Lynch says, three wise virgins, you know, the wise and the foolish virgins are from the Bible. They're like egg is shaken, profuse yellow spawn foaming over his bony epileptic. So that is epileptic. She, oh, she, so love filters, love drugs, white wax, orange flower. That is what Bloom got in the in the chemist shop in the morning. Panther, the Roman centurion, polluted her with her genitals. There has always been a story around about the Holy Family that it wasn't the Holy Ghost, but the Roman soldier or centurion by name of Panther, Pantherus, was the real father of Joseph. So that's also an old story, in a way, undercutting the religious one. The genitress. He sticks out the flickering phosphorescent scorpion tongue, his hand on his fork, Messiah. He bursts her tympanum. A tympanum is the ear drum, and in sirens, they make a joke, burst her tympanum when you sing too loud, but you can also burst another organ. With jiggering, the new baboon's cries, he jerks his hips in cynical spasm. Cynical originally means like a dog. Then he says, hick, heck, hack, hock, hook, cock, cook. Don't know what the background is. And this brings up Jumbo Dollard, because he was the one who said, or Boomer said, he might burst a tympanum of a woman. So Ben Jumbo, because he's very fat, like an elephant, rubicund, muscle-bound, hairy nostrils, huge bearded, cabbage-eared, shaggy-chested, shock-maned, fat-papped. And these are adjectives like the ones we got in Cyclops about the citizen. Stands forth, his loins and genitals tightened into a pair of black bathing backslops with obviously prominent genitals. Ben Dollard, knackering castanet bones. He did this in Cyclops. In his huge padded paws, his hand when he plays the piano, or called paws, yodels jovially in bass barrel tone. He is a bass voice, and of course, we often heard bass barrel tone for bass baritone. When love absorbed my heart and soul, that is something that he sang in Sirens. So at this moment, the Sirens chapter is in a way repeated. But then we move. So the virgins, Nurse Callan and Nurse Quigley, they were the nurses in the previous chapter, Oxen of the Sun. Callan was quite attractive, Nurse Quigley quite old, burst through the ring keepers and the ropes, that is like a boxing match, and mob him with open arms. The virgins, gushingly, Big Ben, he has a loud voice like Big Ben, Ben McCree. McCree is an Irish word, my darling, or something like that. Then a voice says, hold that fellow with the bad trousers. And Dollard says, hold him now. That is a verbatim echo of the 10th chapter again, where they spoke that when they met in the street. Then Dollard smites his thigh in abundant laughter. Hold him now. Then Henry is again Bloom's double, the one who writes to Martha Clifford. Caressing on his breast a severed female head, murmurs, on his breast a severed head. Now, I have to think here of Salome, who had the head of John the Baptist. It's also a play by Oscar Wilde. No, it was Salome who had the head of him, and here's the other way around. Hand, murmurs, thine heart, my love. He plucks his lute strings. When first I saw, and that is the area he sang in Sirens from Flauto's opera, Martha. When first I saw that form endearing. Then, Mirax, sloughing his skin, that is what snakes do, huh? They change their skin. his multitudinous, that's the Shakespearean word, plumage, moulding. And that's when birds change their feathers. Rats, he says. We heard somebody say rats before. he yawns, showing a coal-black throat and closes jaws by an upward push of his parchment roll. Yes, a Hebrew parchment roll. And then he says a sentence that looks like a grammatical sentence in Latin or in Greek. After having said which, I took my departure. This is like a translation from a Latin say, after having said which, I took my departure. Farewell, fare thee well. And then he says, Dreck, which I think is both German and Yiddish, Dreck. Then Henry Flower combs his moustache and beard rapidly with a pocket comb and gives a cow's lick to his hair. I suppose that's when you wet your hair with your tongue. Steered by his appear, he glides through the door, his wild harp slung behind him. That is a song, the Irish emigrant who leaves with his wild harp slung behind him. That is an echo of a song. Mirarch reaches the door in two ungainly stilt hops, his tail cocked, and deftly claps sideways on the wall a pusy yellow flybill, something you throw away, butting it with his head. And the flybill says K11, and that's something that Bloom saw in the river, an announcement for trousers, 11 shilling trousers, chinos, and post no bills. He remembers, he said that you're not allowed to post bills in certain places. That takes you to the 8th chapter. Strictly confidential, that to Dr. High France. That was a quack doctor. Henry said, all is lost now. That was a song in Sirens. And then Virag unscrews his head in a trice, obviously, and holds it under his arm. Well, that's a new one. You get saints who carry their heads. Yeah. And then the Virag's head says, quack. And of course, that reminds you of the quack doctor. And then exeunt severally, that is from plays like Shakespeare, they went in several directions. Exeunt is the plural of exit. And I think that's a good place to stop. Yeah, we're nearly done. And as I say, this chapter would need much more background information, which I haven't seen anywhere except in bits and pieces. Anyway, next time, wait a moment. I won't be here. You will get the information about what happened next Thursday. Okay, have a nice evening then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.